But this is not all upon this subject. The Apostle says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26. Christ gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse it. How? With the washing of water by the word. Not a washing with the word, the washing of water by the word. That is, in obedience to it, or in accordance with it, just as we are baptized by one Spirit into one body, that is, in obedience to it and in harmony with its teaching. That the washing of water by the word here is baptism, Watson, Wesley, Clark, McKnight, Stewart, and all other commentators teach as far as we have been able to examine. Then if baptism be the means by which the church is sanctified and cleansed, how shall it be cleansed without the means? Surely it cannot be. If baptism be not the washing of water alluded to, what other washing of water is there connected with spiritual cleansing to which Paul may have referred? But it is the church that is cleansed, not the people before they enter it. Yes, and Christ gave himself for the church before it was a church. So the church is cleansed by cleansing the material of which it is made. Does any one suppose men and women are to enter the church uncleansed or unpardoned and then be cleansed by the washing of water? The objector might be willing to apply this theory to infants, but it would not do for men. And it would involve the necessity of rebaptizing even those baptized in infancy. But the creeds will not allow the theory, for they all teach that the washing with water brings them into the church. On page 247, Doctrinal Tracts, we find a comment on the verse under consideration as follows. "And the virtue of this gift, the merits of Christ's life and death, are applied to us in baptism. He gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26. Namely, in baptism, the ordinary instrument of our justification. Agreeably to this, our prayers in the baptismal office, that the person to be baptized may be washed and sanctified by the Holy Ghost, and, being delivered from God's wrath, receive remission of sins, and enjoy the everlasting benediction of his heavenly washing. Unquote. Again, the Apostle says, "Ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Colossians 2, verses 10 through 13. Here we learn that the Colossians put off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ in being buried with him in baptism, and thus they were forgiven all trespasses. On this passage, Mr. Watson remarks, "Here baptism is also made the initiatory rite of the new dispensation, that by which the Colossians were joined to Christ, in whom they were said to be complete." Institutes, Volume 2, page 621. If baptism be the act which joins us to Christ, then we ask whether or not we can be saved until we are joined to Christ. If not, we cannot be saved until baptized, that we may be joined to Christ. But the Apostle says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us how? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What is this washing of regeneration? It cannot be the renewing of the Holy Ghost, for that is specifically mentioned. The Spirit and the water are not the same, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Spirit and the water and the blood. 1 John 5, verse 8. Then, if this washing of regeneration is not baptism, what is it? Wesley and Whitby call this the laver of regeneration. Clark says, "Undoubtedly the apostle here means baptism." Watson, McKnight, Alford, Bloomfield, Stewart, Smith, and Wall say it means baptism. Well, what if it does mean baptism? Only this. Paul says we are saved by it. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Wall says this washing of regeneration, Titus 3:5, is the washing of baptism. Volume 1, page 70. But baptism is a work. Yes, so is faith. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. John 6:29. Hence, if baptism may be set aside because it is a work, then faith goes the same road. But faith is the work of God. Yes, and so is baptism in the same sense the work of God. They are both acts of man, but the works of God by authority because God has ordained them. Paul says, We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, verse 10. The works which God has ordained are not the procuring cause of our salvation, but according to his mercy he saved us through just such means as he saw fit to appoint. And Paul says they were the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We come now to examine the types and shadows of former dispensations and their antitypes and substances in the Christian dispensation. We might begin with Adam and show that from him until the coming of Christ there were many numerous single types of him. Moses as lawgiver, mediator, etc. was a type of Christ. Aaron as high priest was a type of Christ. But there were great systems of types adumbrating the deliverance of men from the guilt and pollution of sin under the gospel. Some of these we will briefly examine. God proposed to save Noah and his family from the sin-cursed world with which he was identified prior to the deluge. With a view to this end, he revealed to Noah the plan by which his deliverance was to be effected. Noah believed it, and Paul says, By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Faith was the great principle which moved Noah. Faith alone, however, did not save him, but moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of himself and family. Peter says, Once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The words like figure in the above quotation are from the Greek antitypon, which should be rendered antitype. Thus, the antitype whereof baptism doth also now save us. Here, Peter says in plain terms that baptism saves us and that it is the antitype of Noah's salvation in the ark by water. Now, if baptism does not save us from sin, from what does it save us? It does not save us from temporal punishment such as persecution, insult, hunger, sickness, death, for the baptized man is as subject to these as the unbaptized. Nor can Peter allude to the final salvation, for he says baptism now saves us. Then, if baptism does not save from sin, we repeat the question, with emphasis, from what does it save us? It does not save us from the filth of the flesh, for it is not a mere fleshly washing, but has to do with the conscience. But it is the answer of a good conscience, and hence the conscience must be good before baptism. Waiving any objection to this rendering for the present, we inquire what is meant by a good conscience. Certainly, a good conscience does not always imply that he who has it is a pardoned man. Paul had a good conscience when he was killing Christians. After his conversion, he says, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Acts 22, verse 1. Yet he had to be pardoned, and says, But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Then all that can be claimed for a good conscience is that its possessor is an honest man. and we are quite willing to grant that such he may be in order to acceptably obey God in baptism or anything else. But the rendering might be improved, perhaps, by rendering it seeking of a good conscience. And we know not how a man might seek a good conscience more effectually than by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. If he were as correctly taught as the eunuch, he would likely have had a good conscience when done. Well, but Noah was a good man before he was saved in the ark by water. Hence, we must be Christians before we are baptized. If this proves anything against baptism for remission, it proves just as much against faith. For Noah was as good a man before he had faith in the plan of his delivery as he was after the deluge, or when he was in the ark. Hence, that which proves too much proves nothing at all. Watson says, "It is thus that we see how St. Peter preserves the correspondence between the act of Noah in preparing the ark as an act of faith, by which he was justified, and the act of submitting to Christian baptism, which is also obviously an act of faith, in order to the remission of sins or the obtaining a good conscience before God." Institutes, Volume 2, pages 624 and 625. Wesley says, "The antitype whereof, the thing typified by the ark, even baptism, now saveth us. That is, through the water of baptism we are saved from the sin which overwhelms the world as a flood. Not indeed the bare outward sign, but the inward grace, a divine consciousness that both our persons and our actions are accepted through him who died and rose again for us." Wesley's notes. Clark says, "Noah believed in God, walked uprightly before him, and found grace in his sight. He obeyed him in building the ark, and God made it the means of his salvation from the waters of the deluge. Baptism implies a consecration and dedication of the soul and body to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He who is faithful to his baptismal covenant, taking God through Christ by the eternal Spirit for his portion, is saved here from his sins, and through the resurrection of Christ from the dead has the well-grounded hope of eternal glory." Commentary on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Quote, "Baptism doth now save us if we live answerable thereto, if we repent, believe, and obey the gospel. Supposing this, as it admits us into the church here, so into glory hereafter." Unquote. Doctrinal Tracts, page 249.